Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
The bird is the word. Hey, you're inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Week of December 14th and 15th. Okay, the pheasant quail stockings resume now on a different schedule, but they will be putting birds out right through New Year's Eve. Coming up on our next couple segments, we're talking the crappie bite that's on, man. Black and white crappies happening. Find them right now. They are nice, and they are there. We're also going to be talking stripers, the impending regulation. And just a forewarning, next week is going to be all about the striped bass decisions that are being made. But just let's get to the pheasants right now. Some of our fave areas up in the Central. This is for the 17th. They're going to be stocking night of the 16th. Kyers Mill is going to get 200. Howardsville and Manahawk and 50 ringnecks each. Manasquan 110. Medford 80. And Stafford Forge 160. Here in the Southern Tier Wildlife Management areas, man, loving it. Dix 130. Glassboro 100. Heiserville and Port Republic 50 each. Mad Horse 90. Nantunxet and Tuckahoe 110 each. Millville 340. And Winslow 140. And for the Bob Whites, Greenwood and Peasley each will be receiving 260 bobs. Now, traditionally now, after the fire and buck week, hunting pressure on the birds does drop. So it should, following tradition, I've been doing this a long time, the numbers should be, human-wise and dog-wise, should be more manageable. And just a reminder, yeah, more cuts coming. Let's get to the cobia this time. Stripers, man, we're going to take a whack. Let's get to the cobia this time. New Jersey Atlantic Cobia Public Hearing. NJ Fish and Wildlife's Bureau of Marine Fisheries and the Marine Fisheries Council are seeking public comment on recreational fishing regulations to achieve, check this out, a 15.9% reduction in for the 20 and 25 fishing season for Atlantic cobia, as required by ASMFC. What did somebody say when a meeting what the AMF really stands for? Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission. Virtual public hearing will be held Wednesday, December 18th at 6 p.m. Don't forget, Monday, the Stripe hearing, ASMFC, we're going to see what restrictions are coming up for the line siders, and it ain't going to be pretty. Captain Dave Derry's show is going to talk about that a little later on in the program. Coming up, man, electric charters, talking the crappy bite that is on. That is on, man. South Jersey, I picked up some the other day. Man. The bites happen. Calico, something different. So grab that cup, grab that Red Bull. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio. Half the Yuletide month gone. Man, New Year is coming up quick.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5. South Jersey's talk station.
Tis Maury's Pier's biggest sale of the year. 12 coasters coasting, 11 sliders sliding, 10 swings are swinging, 9 teacups spinning, 8 games are playing, 7 watch the tram cars please, 6 seagulls swiping, 5 curlies fries, 4 loop-de-loops, 3 fun piers, 2 water parks, and a pig dog overlooking the sea. Save 25% on season passes, ticket cards, water park admission, and more. Visit mauryspiers.com.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Well, we're going to be addressing a little later on in the program the striper situation, which is coming to a head with a meeting, I guess it's next Monday or Tuesday, 16th Monday, and how it's going to shake out from there. But people, you know, in my travels up and down the state, I'm very fortunate to do this, searching for new fishing spots, hunting spots, whatever. I found myself up in Southern Middlesex County, around a venue I hadn't fished in about 5 or 6 years. Farrington Lake, 290 acres. Really, it goes through, it's really like serpentine shaped. It goes through 4 or 5 municipalities. It's a really, really cool lake. Very vexing to fish. Shallow, some slightly deeper areas, very weedy, but very, very productive. It was knocked off the trout stocking list, I don't know how many years ago. I guess all the pike that they put in there were eating or something. But a tremendous largemouth bass pickerel and crappie population in there. Coming around a bend, and I see I get to this park. I have boat ramps here, 2 ramps. That's right. I remember these. Yeah, because I used to fish up the upper end. Shout out to, if he's still alive, Bobby at S&B Sportsman Center Sports Shop, way up there on the 130 and Route 1 intersection there. I saw a sonotry guide, fishing guide, tackle shop. Put the call in on a sign. Come there. It's right. It was literally make a right at the light there. Bang! Right there on the left hand side. Check this out. What a friggin' name! It's Electric Charters. What the hell does that mean? Electric Charters. called, got pulled in. It was a great little tackle shop right in the garage. Public Boats here does the fresh and the saltwater guiding. Got him on the phone. His name is Dan Wang. He's been there with us for a few years and an ace angler. Want to key in on a specific bite right now because it intrigues me. Down here in the southern tier counties, we're big on the white perch naturally. But before, not that many people down here that at least I know pursue it. I know there are a few. But the black and white crappie bites, just the pre-winter cold bites, you find them, you can nail them. You know, the limit's 10, 8 inches, whatever. But this is the time for some specimen, as we used to call them up north as kids, calico bass. I mean, we're seeing somebody's seeing two pounds. I mean, this time of year is fine, but I'll tell you, they can make you want to pull your hair out. So I put in a call to Dan and said, Dan, why? So we're jamming, ramming, cramming. And I'll tell you, I wonder if anyone came by, if his property value went down when my 2005 rusted, busted, and crusted Xterra was in that driveway. Hey, man, the tranny's smooth, engine purrs, power windows work, air conditioner works on occasion, tires are good, so I'm good. But I said, let me talk to this gentleman. Get some crappy tactics down this time of year. Listen, get something a little different. I know the bass thing is popular now, guys. We're heading to Union Lake, Rainbow Lakes areas, sunsets in Meds and Meds. But you can catch some big ass calicos right now. Into if we even get it ice up. We had some skim ice, but who knows what the weather next week's going to get warm. But join us online right now. I get a little verbose. Sorry, man. Too fired up at us. Is Dan Wang, owner, operator, president, head muckety muck, Electric Charters. They're based out of, I believe that's, is that East Brunswick or North Brunswick? How you doing, bro?
Hey, I'm doing good. It's North Brunswick, New Jersey that we're on.
Let me tell you, right off the bat, avail the listeners, Electric Charters. I said, where the hell did that come from? And then I saw it. I said, whoa, man, this can kick some serious ass. Because you also fish some of the bigger reservoirs. I'm saying Spruce Run, Round Valley. Well, Massquam right now is still filling up a little bit. But, Dan, describe that vessel, man. That is a kick-ass machine.
Yeah, so one of the reasons why we call ourselves Electric Charters is because we got one of the fastest electric boats. Well, I think, I'd like to say the fastest electric boat in Jersey. We run out of an 1860 center console. We've got a 40-horsepower electric outboard on there. Puts us about 20 miles per hour top speed. And, it's not that fast. If you compare yourself to, a bass boat or something that we can run up, but, that can run, 50, 60, 70 miles per hour,
but
it's not that fast.
But for electric.
You can't run that.
Right.
You can't run that fast in Jersey.
Yeah, except there's a few lakes, Bud Lake, Paco, we have some unlimited, Pompton Lake.
Right.
But for the most part, where you're fishing, this is I have never seen something like this for people. This is badass.
Yep. And we can run up to four passengers, so we can go fast with four, it's a big vessel. It's not like a small little dinky John boat that, you put a big out. Even a 9.9 will fly that, pretty fast. But,
uh-huh.
We've got a big vessel that's stable. We can go in these big reservoirs. We can go in the bay and whatnot. It's a pretty nice boat. It's outfitted with a lot of electronics as well. We've got forward-facing sonar on three ends of it, because, like I said, I take a lot of clients out. And, I like to have everybody on each end fishing with forward-facing just so they can get a hang of that.
Mm-hmm.
We do Spruce Run. Spruce Run's kind of down right now to 36%, so it's hard to do Spruce. But Spruce, Speaking of crappie, Spruce is a fantastic crappie fishery. Fantastic. Absolutely. We're probably one of the best, in my opinion.
Hey, listen, shout out to Jimmy Hardeby, who's now lands manager up there in North Jersey. When he was with fisheries, I was there a few years ago. They did pike netting, trap netting for breeder pike in the spring. He says, my nickname at Fishing Game was Whoop. He said, Whoop, this is the best, without a doubt, the best crappie water in the state. Show me. And they had him right there live and let him go 15, 16, 17-inch black crappies. Dan, it was amazing. Absolutely beautiful fish. But again, Spruce aside, which you can liken to Union Lake, the waters you fish, especially Farrington, mirrors a lot of the southern tier county lakes and ponds that we fish down here, shallow, max depth, maybe 6-7 feet, 8 feet. Again, mm-hmm. sand, except for, Union Lake, what have you. And weedy and whatever. Weeds are seeding, sand bottom, some structure, some stumps. Crappy behavior is crappy behavior. And this, but this time of year, keying in on them, because the fishing, I smoked some nice ones from the bank. Listeners, from the bank, you find some holes along the bank. tactics right now, Dan, for those who want to experience a prime calico bike, because listeners, really, except in the spring when they're about to drop eggs, they are at their heaviest right now.
Yes, they're big. They're big right now. I just went to Round Valley the other day, and usually I don't catch crappie there, but, you know, I've been catching a bunch of 12, 13 inches over there. You know, they're all fat, too. They're not, they're fat 12, 13.
Dude,
you know?
You're getting personal with me. See, he's getting personal with me. He has a fat. See? But then to the shallow waters like we have here, like you're fishing up there, this time of year, shallow weedy, what are we looking for? Because they're going to school up. And it's, damn, it's so weird. They get real temperamental now. When you key on them, they're going to hit. But yet, under the ice, we catch them like gangbusters. I never understood that. But keying in them right now, where are we looking? Around bridge abutments, holes, laydowns, what?
So right now, you know, you got to look at the weather too, right? The weather we've had is kind of strange. We've had cold snap. We got a cold snap last night, but we've had like nice, warm, rainy, cloudy weather the last couple of days, like Tuesday, Wednesday, Monday was really nice. That's when we went out. Next Monday and Tuesday is going to be the same thing, kind of warming up. And those are the days you kind of want to go out, because on those rainy, cold fronty days, they're going to kind of pull back deep and they're going to be harder to find. They're going to be a little bit more shut down. Mm-hmm. In terms of where you want to find them in those nicer days, though, they're gonna kind of move up a little bit in that if you have deep impoundments like, you know, we have up here, we're talking 30 to 50 feet of water. That's the prime spot. But if you're fishing shallow grounds, Farrington Lake, stuff like that, you know, you want to find the deeper part of your systems where it connects. It's more like ledges and stuff like that. It connects, you know, to shallow water very quickly.
Bingo. Yep. Right off the top of my head, I'm thinking of, I got a 4 or 5 lakes right off the bat like that. Yeah.
Yeah, so if we use Farrington as an example, the bridges, both those bridges, the ones on the Sir John's Bridge and the one that I'm on, which is the Church Lane Bridge, you know, those are good spots because, you know, you've got shallow water that dives into about 12 to 14 feet of water there, right? And then another good example would be the spillway on Farrington. There's a spillway on all the way in the end where it dams to Weston Mills or whatever that is, the Milltown Pond. And, you know, that's a great impoundment there. That's a great section over there because that's 20 feet of water. But what it is concrete holds heat. Right, rock riprap holds heat. So what the crappie like, they like to kind of be near that sort of structure where, you know, those and they'll school up like in like, you know, 30 to 50 packs of fish, and they'll usually school by this. If you catch a crappie, let's say if you catch an 11 inch or 12 inch crappie, chances are the rest of them are about that size anyway. But we all know that, right? So, you know, stuff like that, and obviously brush piles. Like if you're fishing off the bank, it's gonna be hard to see underwater brush piles. But if you're fishing from a boat and you have some electronics, you can scan over, find these deep brush piles and on channel ledges where the channel meets, you know, like shallow water and like, you know, like structure. Those are perfect spots.
Dan, also, I hit them the other day, right next to some of these big laydowns right there, I guess, and tangles on that. Again, the water was relatively shallow from doing the count from when the jig hit the down, but they didn't get down 3 feet. Boom. And they were right there again, drizzly warming pattern. So we had them there. Are they keying in on what little bait fish right now or aquatic, you know, the midges or something? Because these things were fat little bastards.
I think they're just feeding up for the winter. But it really depends on the size of crappie that I found. You know, if you're catching, you know, like 8 to 10 barely slot sized fish, you know, like they're gonna be hitting small little like, you know, grubs, little minnows, like 2-3 inches. That's the size you're kind of going for. But the size that I've been catching, they normally hit anything between 3 and 4 inches. So like a three inch gulp is what I like to use universally. If I see that they're bigger and they want a bigger profile, I'll go to a 4 inch gulp. But otherwise, that's 3 inches is the perfect size. And then you can use that. You can use that back to like live bait as well. So fathead minnows, they reach about, they don't go bigger than 3 inches, really. So fathead minnows are perfect. Get shiners and live shiners.
Shout out to Blackwater Sporting, because there is out there, they have the shiners. Here we have, they call them minis. We have killies, if you can find them.
Yeah.
And I found them too, like with the yellow perch right there in the white perch or the Egg Harbor River. They'll key on those. But usually you had mentioned that you drop shot the gulp minnow.
So one of my favorite techniques is drop shotting. Yeah, I know we mentioned that it's a primarily bass technique, but it's very effective. Yeah. Very effective because go ahead.
No, just describe that because drop shot for panfish, drop shot for crabs, same thing as a bass, just definitely downsizing the tackle, correct?
Well, not necessarily. Just a size one, you know, maybe a size two hook, you know, depending on the size, you know, the size of fish that I'm targeting. You know, an 1/8 ounce drop shot weight. And the leader, the distance between the hook and the weight would be about maybe 2 feet, right? Mm. The difference is I'm not hitting the bottom. A lot of bass fishermen, you know, a lot of drop shotting people hit the bottom, right? And that's good for white perch, with bottom feeding fish and whatnot, and fish that are relating to the bottom. But crappie generally are suspended. They're suspended at, you know, maybe 6-5, depending on the body of water, a couple feet off the bottom. And they always feed up. Crappie feed upwards.
Right, yep.
So what you want to do is you want to know the depth of the water, and you want to cast beyond to where the fish are. You want to swim that, basically. You count it down, and you want to swim it back through that school of fish slowly, as slow as you possibly can, because, you know, some days they like it slow, some days they like it fast. But most of the time, I think slow is safe, right?
I like that. I like that. Slow is safe. That's right. Good, man. That's good, Wang.
Yeah. So I like drop shotting because when you're reeling it through that school of fish, you're keeping your line taut. And the thing is, crappie are light biters. Mm-hmm. Even the biggest crappie, like you might just feel like a thump, and then your line is just tight because they don't really nibble, or, you know, they just kind of swallow it and just kind of swim away, right? So it's almost like a bass, but they're really light with the bite. And so you got to be able to set that hook the moment you feel that kind of that resistance.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I like drop shotting, because you don't really have to. You keep that line tight the whole way through as you swim it through. It's not, like I said, you're not on the bottom. You're kind of,
right.
You're swimming it through the column.
Well, then let's get to, because we're up against a hard breaker. Man, that segment went fast, didn't it, Wang? I'm telling you, man. Yeah. You're a talker. I like that. Well, then listen, down here again, a lot of the waters are slightly stained, turbid, what have you. Color of your, whether it's a jig or a gulp, what have you, or a little power, you know, power grub, whatever it is, really, you go bright is right or what?
It depends. You know, like it depends, like I said, based on your water clarity, right? So natural is always a safe bet, because if you're able to key in on the fish and get them close, they'll usually bite. But there are days where color does really matter. So for me, if I had to switch off from natural, I would go to either something chartreuse or fire tiger. Because Farrington is very stained. You know, like there's parts
same
of the year
thing,
where you
like
only
we,
have
yeah, like we have down here. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, 2 feet of visibility sometimes. If you're lucky, 3, right? So on those days where you have bad visibility, you know, I find chartreuse or fire tiger, a combination of those, mm-hmm. not together, obviously. You know, you have chartreuse white, fire tiger, or sometimes I don't throw a lot of pink, but sometimes I find pink is the color, right? So that those three combinations are perfect. Otherwise, you can stick with natural.
Okay, Dan, before I let you go, quickly, main line, using braid, mono, tripolymer, copolymer, or fluorocarbon?
So I'm a big fan of braid to leader. I always run all my stuff as braid to leader, and obviously, depending on the water clarity, is how long my leader is, right? For crappie, I know a lot of guys, they like to run down to 4-pound test, 2-pound test. I don't find that necessary. I think 6 to 10, depending on your body of water. As long as it's fluorocarbon leader, I think you're solid. Because I've never had an issue with spooking fish on line. Yeah. I mean, obviously, I don't fish more than 10, but you know, anywhere between 6 and 8, 10-pound fluorocarbon leader will do the trick, in my opinion.
There you go. Dan Wang, Electric Charters up there in North Brunswick. Dan, give that phone number, website, Facebook page, or Instagram, hand the gram, whatever the gram is. Go.
Yeah, so you can find us at Electric Charters and Bait on Google, or you can look at Electric Charters on Instagram. And that's 70 Church Lane, 732-354-1116.
I understand you also charter on Raritan Bay for the big cow bass, baby. That's going to be a pain in the ass coming up, don't you think?
Yeah, I'm a little upset about that, but hey, you know.
No, well, listen, he's not using electric motor on Raritan Bay. Yes.
I got a big boat for that.
He has a big boat for that. That's okay. And by the way, listeners, he has the coolest pair of pooches. He has he stares at you. That Doberman, oh man, Apollo, and then the coolest man. She could be. She's like a little bitchy on wheels there. A little Athena, the Husky.
Yep.
Cute. Mm-hmm. Man, I tell you, when they look down the driveway, you got to hit the brakes and say, "Whoa, do I really want to go? I really want to go up there." That is a cool matching set. How long have you had them?
I've had the Athena 11 years. Apollo's 6 now.
Wow, man. They're just great. Well, then, I hope to fish you sometime before, hopefully before some ice sets in. Listeners, Calico Bite, is out. You find them right now. I hit some the other day, shallower water, yep. And they're there, and they're big. They're not going to be as heavy as when the females are egg-laden and, you know, come March or whatever. But right now, Dan, one last thing. I noticed, too, later in the day, the sun gets behind, the darker, the better the bite. Or the dimmer, I should say, it gets. Yeah, I that's when I, you know, like, whoa, man, it was 4 o'clock, a little after. Yeah, afternoon bite. It is there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, man, you take care. We'll see you out of the water. Take care, brother.
All right, you too. Bye now.
Yep. Dan Wang, I tell you, you got to see this boat. You have to see this boat. Man, up against a break. Boom, doom, doom. The voice of doom coming up, man. We're going to be talking stripers and the pending regs for 2025. Captain Dave the Rave Show. Grab that cup, grab that Red Bull. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5. For complete contest rules, visit WPGTalkRadio.com.
Bullet points.
I'm Evan Brown. The 2022 landmark Bruin ruling by the U.S. Supreme Court nullified many of New York State and City's strict requirements for obtaining firearm ownership and carrying permits. The decision has been cited many times since in successful attempts to do away with a number of firearms laws across the country. The ruling created a test for gun laws, requiring that laws restricting gun use be routed in a historical tradition. But now the Supreme Court is refusing to hear a challenge out of Hawaii. Christopher L. Wilson was arrested in Hawaii in 2017 for carrying without a license on private property. But the court dismissed the charges, citing Bruin. But then Hawaii's Supreme Court reinstated things, calling the Bruin decision fuzzy. Hawaii prosecutors call it a matter of state law. And even Justice Kavanaugh in the Bruin opinion wrote that states can still require licenses. And those are your bullet points. I'm Evan Brown, Fox News.
It's a new era of orange in Philadelphia. And you don't want to miss the Philadelphia Flyers hit the ice at Wells Fargo Center this season.
It's Nemeth. He centers it in front. They score!
Be here when the Flyers take on the LA Kings on December 19th at 7:30 p.m.
Connecting, cuts it out. Goal!
Get your tickets now, only at PhiladelphiaFlyers.com.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5 and the WPG Talk Radio app.
Yeah, back inside, Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. We have December 14th and 15th. Yeah, man, get out a little calico bass action, crappy time. Something a little different on Rack and Fin. Something we never really keyed on that. Something a little different. They are out there. You can get them from the bank. You find those areas, little deeper holes close to the bank, little ledges, dropos. Get out there in a boat. Get out there in a yak. You can pack them up to 8-inch minimum, and the limit is 10. Most of the calicos that we catch and we eat are going to be in the springtime. But they're just a lot of fun on light tackle. Dan said he used up to 10 pounds. I mean, we keep it to 4 and 2, sometimes 6, but plenty of calico action out there to be had. Got to find them. Find them, and you'll catch them. But towards the end of that interview, we mentioned the stripers. That he's a charter guy up out of Raritan Bay. It's still right outside of Raritan, going strong right now. Stripers are still going strong right now. Stripers are still going strong right now, and guess what's happening? Got to cut it down, cut it back. Looking at it, they want to get to a biomass, spawning biomass, 19? It's some astronomical number. They're not going to do it in a projected year by 2029 or something. So we have to look at cuts. We're going to get more into this next week, but right now we have Captain Dave the Rave Scholl of Seeking Bay Sports Center on the line. Very active, writes his letters, shows up at the meetings. Striped bass, pretty much, and flounder, a.k.a. fluke, are his two lifebloods right there. Now, what they're going to be doing to the stripers, again, in the name of conservation, ASMFC, what have you, I don't know, man. Dave, it's not looking good with the options. That meeting is going to be Monday. There's a webinar on it going on, but it's looking, they're looking at a stock assessment back in 2023. They want to get it up to 247 million pounds. Right now, they're at 191 million pounds from the stock assessment, saying it's gonna take a lot more reductions to target that. One, I want to know where these numbers come from, and Dave, how it's going to impact the myriad businesses along the Jersey Shore that really depend on this striped bass fishery. Man, what do you think?
Well, just what we need is more impact. Bad enough we got the weather, we got everything to deal with, and then we got to get rules and somehow people that just don't seem to be able to count fish that are obviously out there.
This number, 29 million pounds, is it? Or whatever. I don't know. It's just crazy. My head was exploding reading the options, but it all comes down to cuts. Season length, again, and the equitable distribution between the ASMFC, the member states, all that stuff. But Dave, it's not pretty. It's not pretty at all. And this is going to be a really a gut punch.
Oh, it's going to take, well, if nothing else, it's going to take the fun out of striper fishing. And they've already tried to do that. That's part of fishing is fun, and now they're going to cut back. You're not even going to be allowed to target them, so we're going to have an awful lot of people. I wonder if they're going to buy ponytails again because they're going to have to be blue fishing. That's the only way they're allowed out in the ocean.
Yeah, and fine.
And now nobody.
Yeah.
Okay, they want to protect the 3 mile line. They want us to fish inside of this ridiculous little narrow stretch along the shore, but. You're not allowed to target stripers anyway, so go after that 15 miles, throw your bluefish ponytails out and catch all the stripers you want. Bring them in, whatever you're going to do with them. It don't matter because you're not targeting them.
He said that, people. I didn't. And, Dave, the whole thing comes to the four words of doom. Catch and release mortality. Catch and release mortality. And, you know, it's getting to the point where, okay, the study came out that this stuff with the circle, the mandatory inline circle hooks, not offset inline circle hooks, had hardly, if any impact on mortality. So there you go. We tried. You know, we have to try different avenues. And, Dave, it seems that the recreational anglers especially and the businesses are getting it's a slow strangle, a death by a thousand cuts.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know where we go. Well, they're making you catch fish and release fish if you want to eat a fish. You know, it's obvious. To catch anything in this micro slot we have of 3 inches – you're 3 inches wide, and you got every year classes out there. There's sizes from 15 inches to 20 inches, 25 inches, 30 inches. There's some 30, there's some 20, 28 to 31s, yeah. But then you go from there up, and there's millions and millions of fish, and people are catching 100 a day on a boat.
Dave,
that's ridiculous.
Shout out to Captain Lou Van Bergen there on the tying up this weekend. It's the last weekend. And Miss Barnicot Light, he had a guy in there. I think it was the Friday, either the Wednesday before Thanksgiving or the day after, what have you. They had one guy on the boat. I mean, it was full boat. Everybody, you know, he had bonus tags. People went home. They got some slot fishing. They still had the overs up to, 35, 38 inches, 40 inches, whatever. One guy, catch and release, Dave, 87 bass. All on runoff. Shout out to Captain Pete Meyer, runoff was on the runoff hammer jig with a, I think, green or red tail. Can you imagine that? 87 fish, like you said, 100 fish. It's crazy. Hey,
look, these ain't your hatchery trout they're catching. They're catching fish that are 20, 30, 40 pounds, and they'll wear you the heck out. If I go catch three in a day, well, I don't know. We're getting up there in years. If I catch three in a day that are over 36 inches, I had a hell of a good day. Yeah. But if I want to take one home, I'm going to keep going until I catch that legal fish. Mm-hmm. And that's a hard thing to do right now.
And Dave, has that, I mean, you're busy, you're Mohegan Bay Safaris, where you're on the water a lot in between, I don't know when you sleep, Shoal, I'll tell you the truth, between you and me, but And how are your customers reacting? Because this has been in the news now for months. Shout out to Jim Hutchinson Jr. at the Fisherman Magazine. Great editorials on this. Jim's also known as the voice of doom reporting. But Dave, customers saying, like, what's going on? I'm seeing a lot of feedback myself and my travels at the tackle shops and arenas where I hang out. Like, Pags, what's going on? Tom P, what's going on? I just heard, you know, ASMFC is in its own little power universe. And, listen, if you want to see the options, a little non-sequitur, see the options, go to ASMFC.org. Believe me, I'm pulling my hair out trying to just read these things. Dave, one of the options is like a 2-month closure or something like that. 2-month no harvest. Catch and release only. Another one, a 6-week closure. Not even targeting. I don't know how. I don't know how to say it. What rules can't say that. Okay, this is really going to bleep up the industry insofar as the coastal businesses depending on recreational fisheries for the bass. This is not dependent, but a big part of that. This is going to may as well put a sign for sale up on your door.
Well, it's going to affect every other fishery. Now this year, if you haven't noticed, and you should have, but it has been the absolute best tog fishery I've ever seen in all the 40 years that I've been here at Absecon Bay Sportsman Center.
You ain't lying, Dave, man. They are chewing their heads off, man. They're eating more than I eat.
they're every size. I started before April 1st selling green crabs, and when the anglers found out what was out there, I've never gone through green crabs like I have, and everybody that wants to pretty much has caught legal tog every day. They're catching legal tog, but you know what? Especially on our one tog season, they might have caught a legal one, but they had to catch 40, 50 fish a day to catch their one legal one, and they were doing it.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But we're not allowed to catch a striper. So what's this going to do? You're not allowed to go catch a striper? There's going to be more and more guys go on tog fishing.
Tog, sea bass, and porgies, they're going to take hits because nature abhors a vacuum, even on a recreational fishing end. Now, there's not that many guys that are stripers that are going to want to do that, but a lot of guys who striper, and gals who striper, they want to go fishing. They want to go fishing, so these other resources are going to take a hit.
Yeah, well, they're going to go fishing. They're going to go fishing for tog so they can take home some dinner.
Yep, yep.
And then while it just happens that while they're out there, all these birds are diving into the water and these fish are jumping out. And, well, they're going to catch whatever the hell's jumping out of the water. They don't care. And they just happen to have stripes. Well, they were targeting bluefish.
There you go. Join us online, Captain Dave the Rave Show, Absecon Bay Sports and Center, 81 Natalie Terrace in Absecon. Topic is, now the meeting's going to be Monday. We're going to have more on this. Next week's show is probably going to be all stripers, so we're going to do about that. But Dave, the one thing I'm really concerned with, though, back to the economic impact. We're up against a break. Can you hang in for another segment?
Always here.
Okay, there's people have to pay some bills. Grab that cup, grab that rebel. Be right back. Rack and Fin, Red or Devil. Just from your end, your business and the business I'm seeing, how does this augur for the economic impact insofar as your ordering, be it bait, be it tackle, be it whatever, and the customer flow? Be right back, people. Rack and Fin Radio.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5. South Jersey's talk station.
Fox News, I'm Deborah Valentine. Drone sightings have expanded after first being spotted over New Jersey in mid-November. Fox's Nate Foy has the latest.
President-elect Donald Trump applying some pressure on the Biden administration to provide answers. After a busy night of reported drone sightings across the entire country, it now involves 6 states from the east to west coast, and some are questioning if the bigger drones are actually airplanes.
Federal officials say there's no evidence the drones pose a national security or public safety threat. New Jersey's governor has asked the Biden administration to put more resources into investigating the drones. Texas has sued a New York doctor for prescribing abortion pills to a Texas woman via telemedicine. It appears to be the first challenge in the U.S. to a state shield law that's intended to protect prescribers in a Democratic-controlled state. America's listening to Fox News.
Your WPG Atlantic City Electric AccuWeather forecast for South Jersey. For today, mostly sunny, high 41. Tonight, clear skies, low 24. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, high 45. Tomorrow night, cloudy with a little rain, low 36. On Monday, periods of rain with a high of 54. Monday night, mostly cloudy with occasional rain, followed by a steadier rain with a low of 50. On Tuesday, warmer, breezy in the morning with occasional rain, then a mix of clouds and sun in the afternoon, high 63. I'm Mackie Weathers, Caitlin Lawrence on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Okay, back to Captain Dave the Rave Show. Dave, now, just a percentage-wise of your business, I know you're big on the summer flounder dealio, you do big, great with the white Pershing. Bass is, what, 40, 50% of your business?
I'm not sure we got that. We had a big one coming in the last couple of years. The white perch has blown up because you're allowed to eat them.
There he goes again, man.
but seriously, yeah, it's in the 30-40% range. Sure, you got people tend to forget about crabs, but there's a lot of things that you have to get all in this business. There's not enough. There's not enough fishermen to go around. It's a tough business. You know, the live bait's king. That's my claim to fame. I bring people in here with the live bait, but I can't make enough on live bait. I got to sell all the lures and the tackle.
Yep.
And the stripers use more lures and tackle than anything else. You know, so it's just natural that they're a big part of my, you know, my overall fish, you know. Yeah. Mix of tackle and bait is for stripers, and an awful lot of it also is my safaris. Yeah, it's almost all stripers. I just, yeah, well, with the stripers laws as bad as they're getting, or they're already bad, but getting worse, the flounder regulations is another story that we'll get to sometime over this winter. But yeah, that's the other thing that's knocking us down.
Yep. Listen, okay, imagine this, in Captain Dave's position. You go to your favorite pizzeria, you order a pie. Open it up, instead of 8 slices, 3.5 slices are missing. Muddle to me. What's up with that? Well, there you go. Well, Dave, now, we've been doing this now. We're closing out our 21st year of Rack and Fin. You were, my second guest way back when, and we've been doing the striper stuff every year. We've seen the ups and downs. Now, after Sandy, that's changed stuff for a couple years. But really, Dave, the past 2 or 3 years especially, have you seen this year in particular, have you seen the striped bass fishing this good? In memory. This is crazy.
Well, I'm talking about my back bay is equal to or better than I've ever had it. It's equal to or better than any time in the last, what are we looking at, 20 years that we've been talking together.
21, yeah.
You know, the ocean fishery didn't exist. They didn't exist. You know, I mentioned bluefish a while back. When I came in here, I mentioned bluefish and ponytails. Well, all I sold were ponytails for people to drag around the ocean for bluefish, and they're gone now. But that's another story. There's just too many sidebars in this world that to even get close to it. But seriously.
Let me interrupt you. One species that's doing gangbusters are spiny dogs. Listen, we're going to be addressing that in upcoming shows. Dave, okay, but they're all over the place. Well, let's not talk about that. Go. Continue your thought.
Yeah, get back to the striper. Yeah, I caught a spiny dogfish on the boat this year so far back in the creek. It was disgusting. They shouldn't be back there, but we'll talk about that the other show.
Okay.
Seriously, the stripers, if they're not the most important, they drive everything. They're big. They're actually game fish that come in range of the shore, come in range. But there's so many of them. People expect these 100 fish days. They expect to go down to the beach. Yeah, and people are driving north to... Yeah, up to Point Pleasant and all those beaches up that direction, catching dozens and dozens of fish till they're worn out. Yeah, they go out here in Brigantine, and from here south, they'll sit on the beach all day and get a windburn. That's about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, the other thing, too, with the Bass now, is that, again, these stock assessment numbers, and they're talking about the year class coming in from 2015, 16, whatever, and they're worried about the mortality figure. Hook and catch and release mortality, even among those that, what's that guide, sir? I don't even, guide association, I didn't even want to mention it. But anyway, the ones that espouse catch and release only. No stripers go home. And these are guys that want to stop the bonus tag program. That's another story in itself. But even the catch and release aficionados, apostles, psychos, whatever you want to call them, they don't seem to address their end of the mortality fact. We'll use barbless hooks, but fish are still being handled. I mean, there is the fact that there is catch and release mortality. You can't deny that. And that seems to be the overriding factor now, much more so than what you can bring home.
I have my personal doubts about that. That it's, these fish are tougher than they say. There's some couple of real quick things I see that should be addressed. I don't know how they're going to be addressed, especially on party boats. I'm glad to see individual anglers out are getting more and more careful with the fish that they handle. But the party boats, they have people that want to take a fish home for dinner, and they're trying to cull through dozens and dozens of fish that are over the legal size limit to catch that magic 33-inch slot fish. And
31 inch.
They do exist. There's been a lot more this year than there has been. But they got it. You got a boat that's wall to wall people, all of them hooking up, all of them getting in. You don't have time to be careful with them like they should be. And this has to, this should be addressed, and because it makes us look bad, but and I'm sure it will in some form. But the one that's just really disturbing is if you go down and look, especially go down to these surf fishing pages, go down in Facebook or whatever you look at, go down, see the surf fishing pictures. These guys are catching these obvious oversized fish, dragging them up to their vehicle, measuring them in the, putting them up on the tailgate, measuring them and carrying them back down, covered with sand to take them to the water. It should be not allowed for anybody to take off of the beach to take a obviously oversized fish further than the wet sand is.
Mm-hmm.
There's no reason to do that. This is something that really looks bad. And I think I'm seeing it getting a little bit better, but that is something that really makes us look bad.
Okay, join us online is Captain Dave's show of Seacon Bay Sports and Center, 81 Natalie Terrace, and Seacon, longtime guest, one of the first guests on Rackafin Radio, 21 years ago, our starting date in 2003, rather. Well, Dave, on the mortality factor, it is what it is there, and it's all figured in here. So Monday's meeting, the options, 6-week closure, 2-month closure, what have you. The impacts on the business, Dave, are just going to be no matter what, especially if it's in November. In November, the prime time for striper action traditionally over the, it's just going to be a crush. And I don't think that, Dave, all the testifying, I see you up there at the Marine Fisheries Council meeting. You always voice your opinion. You write the letters, you post stuff, you do all this. Do you ever feel that you're being listened to, or is it more the other end, you're not being listened to? Because you always say you're a businessman. This is your business. And it seems to get, I don't know, not shrugs, but yeah, okay. Well, do you think you're being heard? You and all the other ones, the boats and the other shops, shout out to Noel, whatever, too, at one stop. They go, and Andy Gross and Riptide, they go and test and talk, give their opinion, because they're on the front lines every day. They're not sitting in some office looking at computer models.
Yes, well, the computer models with your information from your scientists, without taking into account, well, I know, what everything I do, everything I write down is not always scientifically done. They throw that the hell out the window. My voice doesn't have any PhDs behind it. But we all of us in the business know what's happening. We're looking. We're every day. You have to calculate, okay, there's fish up here. They're going to come this way, maybe not. But they're going to want this kind of bait. They're going to want this we can sell this many of this kind of lure.
Mm-hmm.
It, you know, you're every day. It's like I might as well go over to the casino and then have somebody throw in a couple different numbers in the roulette wheel that are double zeros when they do this. The same thing, because it's always, you know, it's always a calculated risk. Every piece of equipment you buy and sell, everything you do in this business, and you're always trying to help the fishermen, and they need a help from the government too. We need a help from the government. The fish, you know, I think fishing's a pretty good thing to do. I've done it just about all my life. As long, you know, I lived on the South Seeking Creek, and as soon as I could get down on the dock with a life jacket on, I was sitting there catching white perch. And actually, I caught an awful lot of big minnows on size 14 hooks. But anything to get a hook of fish on that line. But yep. Seriously, yes, they're after us for some reason. I don't understand if they have to. They're trying to tell us how few fish they are. Well, why don't they do a study to find out exactly why we are seeing this massive amount of fish? You know, most of them are always outside of the 3 mile line. So
yeah, they don't even count those, man.
They don't have a boat, or they don't have an airplane, or they don't have something that can go out there. Maybe these drones that are flying around are really really out there chasing the stripers. I don't know.
Vintage show, man. Well, Captain Dave, Monday is Monday. We shall see. And let's get together, and I'll give you a call next week and get your opinion on that. Meanwhile, Captain Dave, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. I'll talk to you in between there. How's it looking, Dave? The other day I went over to Mullica coming north on the parkways down the Cape May area. And there were four or five boats out there, and they weren't clamming or crabbing, Dave. These people were fishing. So you got stripers up in there, huh?
Well, the stripers and the perch are on. I've had the phone starting to ring for bloodworms. It looks like they're going to be tough to get this winter. It's always ringing for grass shrimp. They've been missing in action completely the last 2 years. So I don't know what I'll have on them, but I'm going to try to keep the bait because this winter perch fishing is turning on, and every winter we're getting more and more stripers wintering in these East Coast rivers. The Great Egg Harbor River, the Mullica River,
the Tuckahoe,
huge winter population, and I know up north up to the Toms River, that's yep. full of stripers all winter, and you know, everything else. So.
These
fish exist. They're here. They'll be here. They're going to be here March 1st. So, if you can fish this month, get up the rivers. Year before last, there was a big blitz. December 31st, in the evening, going on right up by Lower Bank Bridge because the bass were up there on peanut bunkers.
Yeah,
some kind. It's amazing what. Yeah, when the bait and the fish come together, that's all we need.
That was.
And we'll take care of them. Let us take one home for dinner once in a while, but yeah, don't make us kill every fish so we can finally get one we're allowed. Do something so people can look forward to going fishing again, and maybe I can have a little more business, and maybe somebody will come answer a for sale sign.
Captain Dave, thanks for joining us on Rackfin. Best to Judy and Kevin and family. Have and the incredible, tough, always angry 8 pounds of sugar there. UPS, listen, UPS still feels her. Okay, Dave, you take care, man. I'll see you this week.
Okay, yeah, we'll be smiling better soon, I hope. We'll see you later.
Dave, I'll never forget that New Year's Eve. That was a happy New Year's Eve. Remember that? That was just, let's go. That was something with those bass. Okay, Dave, catch you next week.
Okay.
See ya. Up against a break. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio. Next week will be, so we're going to be all about the bass. I was rubbing my eyes here. It's just a crazy time, man. I know there's ancillary factors in there. Again, the year classes, the bad recruitment. Okay, down in the Chesapeake, evidently, there's been some the testing methods that were kind of suspect. But just the way, when you see the way the fish have been the past couple of years, the past 3 years, really, what is this all about? We'll find out next Monday where the hammer drops. Be right back, Rack and Fin Radio.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Hi, this is Gordon Deal. Coming up on This Weekend, childcare has become so expensive and hard to find that more parents are missing work now than before the pandemic. Hear how the workforce is being affected. Also, concert goers are turning their backs on mid-size shows. Plus, the 99-year-old still pruning Christmas trees at his family farm. And the missing dog named Scrim that's captured all of New Orleans. That and more coming up on This Weekend.
This morning at 6 on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Regional Tire will help make sure you and your family are safe. And if you'd rather do it yourself, Al's Online Auto Parts stocks everything you need. Al's Online Auto Parts in the Regional Tire Building on the White Horse Pike in Cologne. Call Al's at 965-7777. That's 965-7777.
Regional Tire and Auto. Regional Tire and Auto. Regional Tire and Auto, we are the tire experts.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Yeah, wrap it up. Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of December 14th and 15th. Yep, Captain Dave, the Rave Show. I'll touch it again, the voices of doom. But we shall see. And again, don't forget, was it the 18th? There's the Cobia Reduction hearing, the webinar thing you can sign up on. Is this crazy? What's next? Oh, man, the blowfish count was off this year. The puffers, yeah, let's find somebody. Yeah, let's cut the blowfish season. They're going to go another one of their 37-year disappearing cycles, I guess. But, hey, man, less than a month away, it's the Wildwood Fishing and Boating Expo. Great show. Kicks off the show season in New Jersey. It is fantastic. Now it's 3 days. Was 2 days. Now it's 3 days, and it's packed, sold out, packed. Join us online right now. Hope you get guests in the studio in a couple of weeks is Jerry Vessels, the one, the only, the famous show promoter extraordinaire. He's going to be in the studio, but right now just an update on what is a sold-out show. Man, if you want to make a deal on it, but I saw some boats sold last year in January. It was crazy. Jerry, thanks for joining us. Quick update on the show. Sold out, my brother. What's up?
Tommy P, good morning, brother.
Hey, man.
You are
banging it.
We are sold out. We're locked and loaded. We're ready to go. We're 30 days out, and we're ready, Tommy. I am excited. We would be ready to open the doors tomorrow if we could, but we are locked. We got 13 boat dealers with everything from 14-foot up to 36-foot, back bay, inshore, offshore, pontoons. It's crazy. We're ready. Everything and tackle that you need from yep. trout fishing out to getting these giant BFTs that are eluding me.
Jerry, they're still out there, man. We saw some off Manasquan the other day. I was up coming down, made some stop, my mandatory stops just to say hi to some boat people. And Jerry, literally, you could see them from we're on the Point Pleasant beach side. You could see them right, you know, what, a couple hundred yards from the dead, chasing bunker flying ever. And then they're there, and then they were gone. So they're still moving around.
Man,
they're still here.
I'm ghost, Tommy.
Yeah, they're still here. I understand you're going to be you have a long range sea bass trip cut up. Good luck with that. That's a long ride out there. But Jerry, let's get back to the show. You have a outstanding seminar lineup too, I understand.
We do. We got a good seminar lineup again this year. We have Jenny coming back for Flukin. We have my buddy Timmy Smith from Bodacious. He's going to be doing offshore and tuna fishing.
Oof.
Steve again with some jigging tactics. Got a brand new guy, my coworker Brendan. He's an expert on basically trauma stuff, and we're going to address some safety at sea with different things, first aid,
nice.
It's just to me, that's very like with our job and everything else. That's something that's near and dear to me, and people don't realize how far you are away from help, even though you're only a couple miles
off the beach. Yeah, you're talking at least an hour, if not more. No, I mean, really, at an ideal scenario, not anything ideal when you need emergency help at sea, but yeah, man, that is critical. Knowing what to do on a boat, God forbid something happens.
Oh, it's crazy the kind of stuff that's going on. And one of my guys is actually a retired Coast Guard, and he tells me it's like the small boat checks, this, you're probably 15 minutes before someone leaves the dock.
Yeah.
And then however long they get to you. So, I mean, it's not like calling 911.
Okay, Jerry, the show times are that we have January. Let's see. We got the 10th, 11th, and 12th. Go to the show hours, please. What do you got? Go. Okay.
show hours. We got Friday, January 10th from 1 p.m. to 7 p.m. And then on Saturday, the 11th, we have from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Then on Sunday, the 12th, we are at 9 a.m. to 2 p.m.
And not one, not two, but three badass Yeti coolers in the giveaway, Jerry. That's a winner all around, man. That's worth the price of admission.
That is one of our big things, Tom. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, we're giving away a Yeti 65 on each day. So, I mean, that's a huge thing. And it's still just $10.
To get in, man.
$10.
Can't beat that with a stick. Okay, Jerry, people want more.
To get in.
People want more information. Where do they go?
FishingExpoWildwood.com.
Hey, Jerry.
Look us up on Facebook, Wildwood Fishing Boating Expo on Facebook. On the web, it's FishingExpoWildwood.com.
Oh, it was a great seminar lineup, but Timmy on a Bodacious, badass, man. And Tuna, and what's it, Jenny Ackerman from the Fisherman Magazine. Fluke, man, like you can't believe. Some of her, I watched this, Jerry, she can catch these. She gets doormats area. Mm-hmm. This kid is amazing. She is good. She is good. Great seminar lineup. Okay,
yeah,
Jerry, we will see you in a couple. You're doing the studio here. I'm looking at the calendar now. I don't want to give the date. It's going to be a surprise. Uh-oh. Is Crabigail going to be with you?
I'm going to have maybe one, two, three girls from Three Girls Skirts will be there. It all depends on the schedule, but McKenna, Allison, and Abby are all home, but Crabigail will definitely be there.
I'm in for a beating,
and,
people.
She might have a gift for you.
Oh, okay. Imagine what that is. Okay, Jerry, we'll see you guys soon, man. Take care.
All right. Thanks, buddy.
See you, brother.
See you.
That'll do it for this week. I'm Rack and Fin Raider with me, Tom P. To next week, we're going to be talking stripers, and more stripers next week. Don't forget about that cobia here. You want to tune in on that? Again, just make the cuts, more cuts and more cuts. God bless America. God bless our troops. God bless our first responders and law enforcement. Hey, man, the calicos, find those crappies, man. They are there. A lot of fun. Fresh water, something a little different, and there's still plenty of those winter stock trout out there. They are, trust me on that one. They are there. See you next week. Rack and Fin Radio.